In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, first of all, happy Mother's Day. I've been thinking a lot about these readings this week, and in light of Mother's Day and everything else, I've had difficulty with them. There's so much here. You know, you've got Stephen, the first martyr of the Christian faith. You've got what our duty is as a Christian, who we're to follow. I wasn't sure where I wanted to go with this. And there's there's an old saying that says, preach with a Bible in one hand and newspaper in the other. And I'm blocking who said it now. It was a Lutheran originally. But there were two articles in the newspaper that I want to read for you. They're letters to the editor. And the first one was written by Don Coleman of Valparaiso, but he has some very good points. And this will become clear as we go through. But he says, "What happened to old-fashioned values? I am amazed at the lack of caring that people have for each other today. During World War II, everyone was helping each other. We respected the teachers, the law, the authorities, and of course our neighbors." So it gives you an idea of how old the gentleman is. "Now it is an us against them attitude. Did the iPhone cause this, or just liberal thinkers? Is it not allowed for a child to contemplate or compete and win a medal for coming in first, second, or third? I am wondering if this is caused by the 535 people in Washington, D.C., who seem to care less about the people who elected them. They have excellent health insurance, life insurance, and retirement. If the everyday citizen had even half of what our congressmen and senators have, we would be extremely happy. Where is our patriotism and sense of caring for each other? Whatever happened to believing in God and saying so? Has this country given up on God and on each other? I would expect more than potty mouth from millionaires and billionaires. Come on, folks, let's be proud of who we are and what we can do. It is not always about what's in it for me." So that's the first one. The second one, following this, is written by James Deke of Valparaiso. And it says, "Keep politics out of the churches." It says, "While efforts proceed to eliminate sanctuary cities, another sanctuary closer to home, for many reasons, has been successfully abolished by the current administration. It is a shame, as that sanctuary provided a much-needed respite from things political during the last presidential term. I'm referring to churches, where now preachers have the freedom to espouse their audiences on things political as well as things eternal without reaction from the IRS. Will seminaries now offer courses in political science? Will ministers have an R or a D after their names on the signs outside the church?" Now, he brings up a very good point, and I've actually had a lot of priest friends that I had on Facebook or various contacts that did just that in this election. They would tell their parishioners who to vote for and why they should vote for them. They would tell them the evils of the other side. That has no place in the church. Now, many of you have heard me talk about politics, but I talk about it in a specific way. Never, never will I tell you who to vote for. Never will I tell you which side is right. I will talk about the left. I will talk about the right. The reason that I do this is to give you a present-day grasp of the types of things that went on in the Bible. The primary place that we are to worship, the primary person that we are to follow, is Christ. In Him, there is no Greek or Jew, right? In Him, there is no left or right. There is not Trumpers, and there are not Clinton people. There are Christians. It's that simple. I don't care who you voted for. I don't care what side of the scale you're on. My job, as a Christian first, as a priest especially, is to love you regardless of where your affiliations are or where your ideals exist. It is to give you an understanding of what we see in the gospel. Now, I am a fallen creature like everyone else, which means that oftentimes my ideologies are a little strange and can be wrong. But the point of this pulpit is not politics. It is Christ and Him crucified, rose from the dead for our salvation. Now, I say that because what I'm going to say next can be construed strangely. But let's take a look at Stephen. Here's the danger of politics. You heard in the lesson that all the people that stoned Stephen laid their coats at the feet of a certain man, right? Saul. Does anyone know who Saul is? Father Paston, you can't answer. I know you already know this. Paul. Correct. So this is Paul. So here's a real world example of how this works. They stoned Stephen because they didn't like his ideas. The Jews thought they were on the right side of history when they did so. They would have claimed that type of thing. Paul himself got letters from other Jewish leaders to actually chase down other Christians and kill them on sight, because that was the right thing to do. What's the opposite of that? It is exactly what Stephen did. It wasn't a counterattack to the people that were stoning him. It wasn't him kneeling there in hatred and despair. It was glorifying God, even at his death. "Look, I see the clouds opening and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Father, forgive them for this sin." That is the only political message that a church should ever have. And if you want to tie into Mother's Day, your mother would have told you, "Be nice to other people." It doesn't matter where we find ourselves on this broad spectrum of politics. It doesn't even matter where we find ourselves in a broad spectrum of understanding within the church. You see, we have an opportunity to grow, to follow Christ, because we know Him to be the way, the truth, and the life. God does not meet us where we should be. If He did, we would all die to nothing. Instead, Christ comes down and meets us where we are and draws us ever forward. History is rife with political movements and people that thought they were on the right side of history. And oftentimes, history writes those same people to be villains. The Marxist movement thought it was on the right side of history. Nazis thought they were on the right side of history. The Zulu tribes in Africa thought they were on the right side of history. The warlords in Afghanistan think they're on the right side of history. The leader of North Korea thinks he's on the right side of history. We have all these things coming and crashing in on us. And yet we have hope. It is through our faith and what we follow, not our political leanings, that actually save us. It is our faith that dictates how we are to act towards one another, regardless of where we find ourselves. I can have conversations with anyone here in a political spectrum. We might even be angry with one another. But when we walk away, I will love you anyway. See, love doesn't get angry. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't stay there. It doesn't stay angry. That's where repentance and reconciliation come in. But you don't have that necessarily without a Christian faith. Without a Christian faith, it becomes very easy to paint others in an evil light. Again, we go right back to Paul, who was Saul. He was one of the main reasons that the Christians scattered, thus kicking off the spread of the gospel to the entire world. And when his job was done for that part, what happened? We had it a few weeks ago, the Emmaus Road. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you? I am the one you crucified. I am the risen Lord. His response is immediate. His humility is instant because of the scales on his eyes. He has to be led into a town by people that he may not have even trusted. He continues on to become one of the most prolific and most read Christian writers. Simple things. What happened to being nice to each other? Why have churches begun to be campaign centers for political leaders? James Deek has it right. This pulpit is not used, this faith is not used to tell you who to vote for, to tell you who's a good person and who's a bad person, to tell you what ideal stands above the other. There is an ordering. God first, family second, job third. Have you heard that before? Those are supposed to be the most important things in your life. God first, family second, job third. There's an understanding that family is not simply flesh and blood. Families are flesh and blood and are people in the church and are people in the community. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Christ says. None may come to the Father but through me. Not Donald Trump. Not Hillary Clinton. Not Karl Marx. Jesus Christ. And Him crucified. I invite you all to take the readings home and actually consider these things in light of these articles. And for motherly advice, there's always Hildegard Bingen? The other one, Norway.
Julian.
Julian of Norwich. All is well, all is well, and all will be well. Thank you. I always get those mixed up. I think I'd know by now. So, on that note, enduring the bizarre sermon of today, have a blessed Mother Day. and amen.